The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the interesting things to think about or be aware of is that in mindfulness practice, we're often instructed to be in the present moment, as if the present moment is a simple thing. This present moment is amazingly complex. There's a lot of different things going on at the same time in the present moment. And any time that a human being pays attention to the present moment, they're choosing or certain aspects of the present moment to notice. Or certain aspects of the present moment get highlighted and get known. But I think it's probably impossible for one person to be aware of everything going on in their field of vision or field of experience in the present moment, what's going on. There's so much. So, for example, you sit down to meditate, close your eyes, and it's a relatively simple thing to just sit there, right, and have your eyes closed. Not much is going on. Some people get bored. Nothing's happening. But there's a lot happening. And so there's the whole physical experience of being in a body that's happening. Maybe you had just had lunch and you're digesting and you have the sensations of digestion and perhaps there's some concern about your digestion and, did I eat the right thing or how's that going to sit with me? Maybe there's tension from the day in your body. So one of the things happening as you're sitting is the tension becomes revealed. And even if you don't even focus on your tension, some of the tension begins to relax because you're sitting still and quiet and there's this releasing that goes on. There's perhaps you cut your toenail or cut your little toe during the day and it's healing. And maybe you're not interested in your little toe, it's healing just fine, so it never occurs to you to look at it or pay attention to it. Or perhaps you're obsessed about, you're really vain about your little toe and it's really important how your little toe looks as the world sees your little toe. And so the fact that it got cut, you're completely zeroed in on that little toe, and that little toe is the most important thing in the world because of how it represents you in the world. Or you don't pay attention to it at all because who cares about little toe? But it's still happening in the present moment. And then there's a whole array of different sensations in your body going on. Some of them which couldn't think twice about. You might be aware of the contact of your butt against your cushion, but perhaps registers at all that there's contact of your knee against your mat. I spent whole sittings where I'm aware of many things, but that particular contact point just didn't come into the radar. But it's there. Or I've had situations where I've sat and even though these cushions are pretty soft, if you sit on them nonstop for 3 hours, they feel like concrete. And then I've sat down and I've been really, been cautious and, how does it feel? How's this going to be? And I'm tuned in very much to the sensations of my knees against the soft mat. And it becomes really interesting. Other times I can go weeks and months and years without even ever being aware of that particular sensation. But those sensations are there, ready to be felt and recognized if I'm interested or directed to pay attention to it. But it's part of the present moment. And then there's all those sensations have feeling tones to them. They're pleasant or unpleasant. And so some people get really interested in, is this pleasant, is it unpleasant? And so you can pay attention to that, the pleasure, the lack of pleasure that's there. And some people get really tuned into that. Some people hardly notice whether that's not a way they experience the world, is through the filter of pleasure and displeasure, unless it's really dramatic, and just all the pleasure and subtle pleasures and displeasures in the body are just, go unnoticed because it's not so important for them. And they still get concentrated and peaceful and quiet, just they do it without the feeling tone coming into awareness. There's all kinds of perceptions going on while you're sitting. And so it's possible, so which perceptions do you really register and take in? I could kind of take in the fact that there's, there's traffic sounds outside. I mean, I'm capable of hearing that. But I can also quite capable of just not sitting here and being absorbed in my breath, and there's no it doesn't really register in some conscious way. There's traffic sounds, but the traffic sounds are happening. Or I could be obsessed about that. Why did we choose to buy a building on the corner of such a busy street? And I wonder what I could, if I could write to the city and, you know, maybe we can turn this into, I don't know, a parking lot so that no cars are driving by, and change this somehow. And I could obsess about the sound, or I could just not even notice. There are all kinds of subtle perceptions, thoughts that go on in the mind that are drifting through. And some of them just kind of waft through and we don't pick them up, and some of them, you know, get our attention. I've had, you know, subtle thoughts just wafting through, and then thought about, you know, my high school girlfriend, just that wafted through, and everything just kind of gets solid and tight, and boy, you know, I don't know why, you know, that got my attention. And another time, something, just I don't even notice that I think it, because it doesn't have any charge to it, and just goes right through, and I'm staying with my breath, and I think there was a thought, but I don't know what it was. I wasn't interested. But these are thoughts that go on, and there's subtle layers of thoughts that go on, and attitudes. There's choices we make. And because there's so much going on in the present moment, there's always basically some kind of choice. What do we pay attention to? Sometimes the choice is there because we've been given instructions in sitting, pay attention to your breath, so we choose there. But sometimes there are subtle decisions that are made about what has priority, what's important to pay attention to in our experience. It has to do with life experiences, things that happened to us before, our values, what's our priorities, our sense of self. Often what we pay attention to is related to our sense of self and our safety and our status and our well-being. And so we kind of tune into that part of the environment that either reinforces ourselves or threatens it, and that becomes important. And it's not a simple, innocent thing what we pay attention to. And there's so much in this field. And what happens is that some minds get into ruts, get into habits of thinking certain things and focusing on certain things. You may kind of get all kinds of silly examples. I remember when I was in Burma, I was sitting in silence for 8 months. And you get a little bit of what's called yogi mind, that kind of state. So things get... it's like having a magnifying glass, and the importance of things seems so much more important than they really are, and like you can obsess about things in a really wonderful way if you have nothing else to do but sit silently for days on end. And I remember having this little pin-sized little kind of thing on my shoulder that I could see. It looked down, like, wow, that's interesting. And I got upset, oh, I must have skin cancer. And I would look at it and look at it. I mean, a lot of things were going on in the present moment, right? But I chose a teeny little dot, you know, you know, and look at it. And then at the monastery, there was a dermatologist. So I went over to him and said, you know, can you please look at this? You know, just, and so he, yeah, sure, I'll look at it. And he thought, and he looked at what I was pointing at, and he thought I was crazy. I mean, it was not really nothing. And it was a little dimple, you know. But I got obsessed with that. So all this is to say, what do you, out of all the whole scheme of everything that's going on in the present moment, what you're paying attention to is probably not so random. And there's probably some choices that you're making. And the choices you're making and what you're paying attention to might not be the best choices. The ruts you follow, the things you constantly go back to notice, this is important, this is what I should pay attention to, maybe it's not really the important thing to pay attention to. Maybe there's another, or maybe it's the perspective that you see it, the interpretation by which you see it. And maybe it's not really, maybe it's an okay interpretation, but maybe there's other interpretations as well. And there's other ways of seeing the situation. There's the present moment and how we see it, and just as there's many things going on in the present moment, there's also many perspectives from which to see the present moment. So when we encounter another person, we see the person as a threat, we see a person as someone who can do something for us, we see the person as someone who's had a hard day and someone who has, you know, struggles in their life like everyone does, or do we see this person as just a, you know, because of a certain hairstyle and manner of being, this person's vain and arrogant, and I'm going to focus on the fact that the person's arrogant? Or do I focus on the fact that this person's also struggling to make through this life and maybe has some arrogance, but that's not what I'm going to focus on? What are we doing in this life of ours? What do we focus? What are we choices? What are the interpretations? And what Buddhism says, two things in this regard, I believe. It says it's possible to relax and do less and less of all that. And less choice and just kind of let things get simpler and simpler and simpler. And let things kind of stand out and show themselves to you. But the other is, it's very important, is that it's also possible to choose what you focus on and to start becoming creative in reinterpreting or looking and filling out the picture and saying, "What is there another perspective? There's another point of view here." Not to deny one point of view, but to realize that there are maybe a dozen points of view, all of which maybe are relevant or valuable. There isn't just one thing going on here. Depends whether you look, when you sit and meditate, are you looking at your digestion? Are you looking at your attention in your body? Are you looking at your feeling tones? Are you looking at the thoughts and beliefs? Are you looking at, what perspective do you want to look at yourself right now? When you're looking at another person, what perspectives? And there are many perspectives that you could have. And which perspectives are you locked into? And are you only seeing it that way? Or is it possible to shift the perspective, to open it up and see multiple perspectives? And the more perspectives, that angles from which we see any particular thing, I think the more compassionate and caring and wise we can be about what's going on. The fewer ways in which fewer perspectives, interpretations we have for seeing something, chances are we're missing something, the full picture of what's happening, or fuller picture of what's happening. So part of practice is to be very simple and relax and just be. And part of it is to start using our intelligence creatively and asking ourselves and exploring, what other perspectives can I bring onto this? What other perspectives are relevant in this situation? And expand kind of the intelligent, creative way in which we see any given situation. People's whole experience of life and themselves can change dramatically just from a change of perspective. There's another perspective. I didn't realize that. That's how it is. I've known people who have had a lot of physical pain, for example, and as long as the perspective was my pain and my struggle, it was hard. It was reasonable. They were trying their best to struggle with it. But some people I've known who've had tremendous pain realized that they weren't just, it wasn't just them having it, but there were other people in the world having it. And then feeling some sense of connection and compassion that would be beyond themselves made a big difference to see that perspective. And I've known some people have had a lot of struggles, and they realized that that to the degree to which they struggled with it, that was a gift to others. They were going to be able to understand, that the degree to which they could understand their pain, it was something that they could bring and support other people who were going through a similar thing. They weren't just doing it alone. They were doing it in a community of people, and their ability to deal with it was hopefully beneficial for others. And so to change that perspective, and rather being just caught up in their own thing, shifted for them and kind of created a whole different way of being with it that was meaningful. So if someone tells you, be present, as if the present is a simple thing, you'll know otherwise. Okay.